What up, it's your boy Tiny Sumo coming to you live. I'm at home in the land room, not in the mobile studio. I treat myself, getting comfy on the couch, gonna chat with the guest in a second before we get started. Gotta get my plugs out of the way, so go to dirtycleanates.com, check out the product there. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, and listen to their podcast, the DCE Pirate Radio Podcast on iTunes now. Use the code DCETinySumo for 10% off. And go to fingertape.com.au, use the code TinySumo for 10% off with them, and you can find them on Facebook and Instagram as well. All right, Will is ready to go. Boom, boom. I'm going to get down. Hopefully the reception works in this time. You've got Wi-Fi cracking in Thailand. We should be good to go.
Yo.
Hey, Will, brother, what's going on?
Hey, Will, brother, what's going on?
Hey.
Have you got headphones?
Have you got headphones?
No. Yeah, I can get a hold of that.
The reception's good this time, though. There we go. All good to go?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah, but loud and clear. Nice, okay, nice, cool. Nice. The reception is much better this time. That is good to see. That is good to hear. That is happy days. All right, man. Congratulations on the recent win. You got the, I saw you got the shiny gold of Bangla. That was nice. Wild West. We were talking about that. And you've got a couple of fights coming up soon as well. You've got a boxing fight and an MMA fight coming up.
Yeah. I'm going to fight boxing November 5th and put at Phuket Stadium, in Patong Stadium, which is not that far from Bangla, but another stadium. There's two stadiums in Patong. And then I got a fight in Korea November 16th for TFC.
Nice. I wanted to talk to you about, now, because you fight regularly, this will be your 104th and 105th fight, which is nuts, which is crazy. And you've done it across all different sports. We spoke about it recently as well, boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, MMA and Letway recently as well. With these two fights came up, so with the boxing fight coming up and with the MMA fight coming up, two things I wanted to talk to you about. The first question would be, you know, with the boxing fight before the MMA fight, are you training boxing specifically at all, or are you just training for the MMA fight and you'll just do the boxing in between?
Well, yeah, the great thing about being in Phuket and like my only job is to train. And it's training at Tiger Muay Thai right now because, my friend Emilio Honey Badger, he's fighting in one championship, on the 26th this month in Burma. So I'm here training with him and doing my camp for Korea here as well. So they got boxing in the morning with an Australian guy named Sam Baston, and I'm doing boxing with him in the mornings. But in the evenings, I do either Muay Thai or I do, MMA or wrestling or BJJ. They have so many different classes and whatever and whatnot. And right now, I'm just getting back used to training in the heat. Training in Thailand again. It's been a while since I've trained in Phuket. It's been almost 2 years. So I'm just getting used to it. My fitness is getting back up. But probably starting next week, I'll make sure I'm getting three sessions in a day instead of like only two.
Nice.
And all these sponsored fighters here, man, they make me feel like a piece of shit. They're all, man, we got this young kid, who's one of our roommates. His name's Trent Gerdman. He's fighting in Wuling Fung Wars on the 26th as well. This kid does four sessions a day sometimes. Like, he does two sessions back to back, and then he'll do it in the morning, and then do two sessions back to back in the evening. And he always has crazy energy. He's always watching fights at the house. I'm just like, stop making me feel like a piece of shit, man. Like, just take it down a notch.
No, you got the wily veteran thing going, man. You're allowed to play that card now. You're like, you young guys. Look, you get the 100 fights. Come talk to me. We'll worry about the four sessions.
I play that card all the time, but I feel like it's getting old already really fast.
Nah, man. You can get away with it. You can get away with it. So you're training there. Shout out Frank Hickman, too. The Hickman Brothers Wrestling out at Tiger Muay Thai.
Oh, my God.
So
talk about a monster. sparring with Frank.
I was talking to him the other day. I saw he was doing clinch work with one of the Thais. I'm like, oh, you got a fight coming up. He's like, nah, man. He goes, I do the clinch work with the Thai boys and they're too strong. So I just wrestle them. I'm like, I saw it like the end of the clip. He hits like an outside trip takedown. I'm like, yeah, there you go. Nice. Well, there you go. Boys are killing it. So you've got that coming up. You're training the boxing as well. You're training full, but like, so essentially you just what training for the MMA fight and you'll just slot a boxing fight in between.
Yeah, like, because it's only a four-rounder. Like, my last boxing match was an eight-rounder. Mm-hmm. So this is just a four-rounder, and I'm most likely going to probably fight a Thai. We still don't know yet. Well, I should know my opponent by next week, actually, because it's Western boxing and not Muay Thai.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, most likely I'll fight, like, just some Thai fighter. So I'm not too worried about it. It's just, this is actually honestly just a little bit of money fight. Like, I can make a few thousand baht. Which it kind of still covers my expenses until my fight in Korea, on the 16th. So yeah,
that's
pretty much why I'm taking it. Yeah.
Just that tide you over fight, get the rounds in, get number 104 out of the way and then move on to 105. So you got the MMA fight coming up in Korea. You obviously know your opponent for that. I've seen a bunch of the press for that coming out as well. With the fighting regularly too. So this one coming up, the boxing fight. Is it like you were saying with Bangla where, you know, everything's just a little bit, that guy's about this weight, you know, bit Wild West, or is there a set weight for the boxing fight?
Well, we told our weights, but like, it's the same shit though. Like, so anytime we fight in Phuket, we're not going to actually there will be no weigh-ins. Like,
okay.
So they'll either find a foreigner at one of the other Thai gyms that agree to fight me in boxing, or they'll find one of their Thai guys that are around my weight class. So I told him like my walk around weight 77 right now. Like, so they'll find somebody. And it sucks though because I'm tall. So the only thing I'm worried about is like, oh, they know I'm really tall. So sometimes they give me some other really tall guys. This has happened a few times where I fight guys that are like 90 kilos. So I'm just hoping that shit doesn't happen. And we'll be good. Like, as long as the guy's around like 80 kilos, then I'm fine. Like, I don't care who it is, you know?
Nice. So then you're training for the MMA fight. So what weight? So you're fighting at lightweight for MMA?
Yeah, this at 70 kg, yeah.
So with fighting so regularly, you know, 70 kg, you're walking around at 77. Yeah, like how are you going with weight cuts or maintaining weight or anything like that? You know, is the weight cut tricky at all or are you pretty comfy with it?
Oh, no. I just had a green Fanta today and chicken rice like every day. No, I'm actually really lucky. I'm just naturally really skinny and have a high metabolism. But 70 kilos is always within my range of like being doable. Like I would like to be like get down to like 76 or 75 so I don't cut that much in the sauna. Mm-hmm. With the weight allowance, I think I can be 70.8 exactly.
Okay.
Like so I can play around with it a little bit. But yeah, I don't like to cut more than 5 or 6 kilos in the sauna because after 5 or 6 kilos it really starts hurting. But yeah, it should be all right. Like I'm sweating a shit ton and like I said, training in Phuket. It's awesome, but it sucks. But it's awesome. You know, like
hot, sweating. So you've got that lined up. So you've got the boxing fight lined up. You've got the next MMA fight lined up. What's next? I mean, you know, for a guy that's fighting as regularly as you are, as often as you are, all over the world, all different types of rule sets, you know, where next? What do you want to do next?
Oh, so I am still hoping I can fight Lethwei again. In Myanmar, but I fought Lethwei in Tokyo, Japan. But I want to fight Lethwei in actually Myanmar, Burma.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing confirmed yet. But there's a bare knuckle. Have you heard of bare knuckle FC? Ben Rawlings is the champ. So they have a show October 20th, and then they said they're going to be another show in January. And I talked with the matchmaker, so hopefully I'm going to get on that bare knuckle FC card in January, which is just five rounds of literally bare knuckle boxing. Mm-hmm. You can only wrap your wrists. Your knuckles can't be wrapped. You start. It's really weird too. Like they start head
the
to
toe,
head.
The toe, the line, the toe, the line.
Yeah. And it's a ring, but it's a circular ring too. So it looks dope. It's kind of cool.
That's been getting popular. I've seen that there's like now there's I think two promotions in the States that are doing that. I think like
they've. World Bare Knuckle fighting.
Yeah.
The one Chris Lieben and Phil Brony fighting in.
Yes.
That one. And then there's Bare Knuckle FC, which is the one Beck Rowley is the champion.
Yeah.
Her division. Yeah. Yeah.
And that seems like it's getting popular, and they're getting a bunch of MMA guys involved, a bunch of other UFC vets as well. I think Kendall Grove just fought in one of them. Like, I've seen a few. Chris Lytle just fought. So there's been a bunch of the guys that are obviously just picking those fights up as well.
Yeah, but Bare Knuckle FC just signed Leonard Garcia. So I'm like, hey, if he needs an opponent for January, because he fought Max Holloway also.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, I'm down. I was like,
there you go.
I'll definitely fight him, especially for, especially bare knuckle boxing. I was like, oh, 100%.
Yeah, man.
MMA, I'll be a little skeptical. I'll be like, ooh, that's a tough fight, but bare knuckle boxing, let's do it. Yeah.
There you go. Nice and tall. Stick the jab out. Keep that busy. But that's one. Yes. So that's what we've got to push now. So that's what we have to, we have to stick that out there. We have to start that on the socials. We have to post that up a little bit. Get you the fight on bare knuckle boxing. That's what we're looking at for January, man.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely hoping I'm going to be on that card. Like I said, I talked to the matchmaker a little bit, but he hasn't sent me a contract, so nothing's 100%
clear. Mm-hmm.
But he said he'll try to match me up, so I made it real easy. I was like, yo, I'll fight your toughest guy with this time. Like, come on.
Nice.
We'll see.
You're making it easy for him then, man. You're making it easy. You've already done the work for him. You've done the matchmaking. Send the paperwork, send location. Let's make it happen. So you're looking at, obviously you want to do Letway again. Have they got more shows happening in Japan? I think they just had one recently. Yeah.
No, they're going to have their next one's going to be November 14th.
Okay.
I was going to get on that card, but because I was going to fight in Korea, I can't fight November 14th and the 16th, but if not, maybe, because I think he's going to try to start doing it at least every month or every 2 months. So we'll see. Yeah.
Nice. And I know when I spoke to Dave LeDuc a while back, and he was talking about, like, from a monetary standpoint, he's like, oh, dude, I get paid, like, from what he was fighting in Muay Thai versus what he's fighting in Letway, he got paid better for Letway. Is that something you found?
Definitely pays better. On average, like the average fighter in Lethway, I think makes way more money than the average fighter in Muay Thai.
Mm.
The average fighter in Muay Thai makes like 5,000 baht, which is like 200 Australian. But for Lethway, you'll make around 1,000, which is like for an average fight, which is, that's huge in Asia. Like my rent is only $200 Australian, like that's
what
my
rent
costs. So.
Yeah.
So like when you put it in that perspective, it's like, oh, okay, that's not too bad, He has a big fight. He's gonna have his trilogy match with like one of the most famous Burmese fighters, Tun Tun.
Yeah, so I see they're fighting for the gold belt again. He's gonna Tun Tun's come out and he said he wants to take the belt back so he can then retire and one of the other Burmese fighters can win it. Or Dave LeDuc, I had a chat with him, man. He's a full on dude. He's a full on guy. Like, he's talking about that Thai prison fights. And then this was before his last fight, and he was talking about, he's like, oh, I just want to see his blood. I just want to see it. I'm like, okay, I believe you, dude. I believe you. You don't have to convince me. I believe you want to see it.
Was saying, like, was talking shit kind of and saying that, oh, you can't knock me out with your hands. And he's like, no problem. My elbows will do just fine.
He's a bad dude, man.
He's a bad dude. Scary. And especially at open weight. Like, I don't know why these Burmese guys think they can beat him. Like, Dave is getting big right now. He's almost 90 kilos right now.
Yeah, he is tall, and his elbows are scary. And one of the things, like, he's the clips. Watching his clips is what got me into Letway. Like, watching the headbutt from the clinch. Like, watching how he actually, like, the hand placement and then moving the hand to throw the headbutt. Is that something that, like, I know that you threw headbutts in your Letway fight as well.
Mm.
Did you have to? Yeah,
he's definitely massive. Like it did help a lot to do it on the pads.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually gonna make my own little my Lethway Tuesday, my Lethway Tuesday video.
Yeah,
I'm supposed to do it with Emilio, and I was gonna show like the way I was training it for the clinch, and using boxing gloves, like clinching with boxing gloves, and then covering the face and headbutting, and like and also really like you don't headbutt with your forehead. You really gotta above the hairline and stuff, or like the side of your head, because you risk cutting yourself, or like one of the guys that fought in Japan, fuck, he headbutted himself and then he got a hematoma over his eye. Oh man, he's dummy. Like, how do you not do a little bit of research before you just blindly throwing me, crazy guy. Like,
so yeah. with you being comfortable with headbutts in Letway, would you be comfortable with the idea of headbutts in MMA? Because that's something I've spoken to people about. Like, I like the idea of it from like even like a closed guard perspective and all that, you know, stuff. It obviously opens up way more options in the clinch standing. But is that something that you, I mean, you're a super accomplished fighter, over 100 fights now. Is that something that you would consider in MMA? Like, do you?
I would definitely do it. Like, Full Metal Dojo allows 12 to 6 elbows.
Yeah.
Soccer kicks. The only thing they don't allow is stomps. But if Full Metal Dojo wanted to do a fight and asked if I would be okay with stomps and headbutts, I'd be like, I don't care what rule said. Like, honestly, like, and I'm not even to sound like a badass, like, or anything like that. Like, I just want to make my living fighting. Mm. And I don't care what rules it is or what style or what country or wherever. I just want to fight and pay my bills. I don't want to work a real job or a normal job or whatever, you know, like this is how I want to live my life. And I try to tell people, like, you can do it. Like, I'm not special. Like, other people can do it too, but you have to be willing to fight the different rule sets. You have to be willing to fight boxing, K1, Muay Thai. Cause sometimes I haven't had that many MMA fights in the last year, but I have had a lot of K1 fights and Muay Thai. Like, I have had a lot of opportunities to fight other shows. So, like, you have to be flexible if you want to stay busy and make money fighting. Like, making money fighting is, it's hard unless you're in the, like, you're in the UFC or you're in the, even the UFC. Like, unless you're in the top 10, you know, like, because even if you're not in the top 10, and you get injured or something, you only have one fight a year. Like,
I've been still
struggling.
I've been having this argument with, like, I try to stop myself, but I get into arguments online about it where people are like, oh, they're making, I'm like, fuck out of here. There's dudes on the biggest show in the world fighting on the undercard for 10 grand show. And I'm like, you don't understand that then if you're that fighter, you have to pay your trainer. You got to pay your manager. You got to pay training partners. You got to, like, there's all this other shit you got to pay. And now I got the Reebok deal. I can't go out and get $30,000 worth of other sponsors to fight.
Like, let me put this in perspective for people. Like, I fought Max Holloway. Like, everybody knows Max Holloway.
Mm-hmm.
I fought Max Holloway for $8,000 to show, $8,000 to win.
Mm.
That's the only fight I had in the UFC. I lost. I only made $8,000. That's, and then also Singapore takes a 10% tax. And then it's whatever, if I fly in one more than one cornerman, that's deducted from my purse. Whatever supplements, whatever training fees or man, like all that other stuff, like, it's not that much money. $8,000 for one fight.
It doesn't go far.
If you fight often, you live in Asia, live in a third world
country. Yeah.
It can go far, like, but that's
the thing as well. You know, like you're saying, you've made the jump. You've packed up. You've moved over to the other side of the world, and you're willing to take the fights, and not just take the Muay Thai fights or the MMA fights or whatever. I've been talking about, there's a couple of lads I know that are struggling to get MMA fights at the minute, and they're like, should I take a Muay Thai fight? I'm like, absolutely. For starters, it's ring time, it's ring experience. If you're a junior guy too, and you've only got a handful of fights, win, lose or draw, get the ring time. But also pay your bills. If you want to be a pro fighter, that's what you want to do full time. Well, you got to pay the bills.
Yeah. Well, I always say, like, guys in Thailand, like, well, what's the rent? Your rent's like what? 6,000 baht, 5,000, 8,000. How much is your rent? I'm like, well, I mean, at least your Muay Thai fight will maybe cover your rent. Or it covers your visa run, or it covers your food for a few weeks or something. So, like, they have to adjust their lives. Like, how much do they really want to live this life as a fighter? Do they really want to, like, make the money this way? Like, it depends on what people want at the end of the day, you know?
I've spoken to a few guys about it, and that's the thing. It's like, hey, you just take the fights. It's hard too. I mean, if you're talking to the guys, I think MMA and Muay Thai, especially the mindset or the mentality behind records is a little bit different. When you're talking to guys who are still heavily involved in boxing, their mindset's a little bit different. Because that zero is so important, you know, like that's all they're sort of banking on making their money off that zero. It's not fighting regularly. It's just having that zero at the end of the record. But, you know, you think about some of your favorite fighters or some of the most popular guys or some of the even the top guys, you look at their records and they're going to have a big chunk of losses. You know, you think about like
especially
in MMA. You know, but even like Muay Thai, you think about like Sanchai. You have a look at his record.
40 losses. He has 40 losses.
But he is, like, you watch him and you're like, who the fuck is beating Sanchai? It's like, whoa, that's what, when he's come up fighting Muay Thai, he's fought every week or whatever it is, you know, like, Chantai's going to have some losses. That's how it works.
But there's like, there's a thing too, like, especially the guys, like, there's a lot of foreigners in Thailand that want to try, can't find fights or whatever. Well, if they fight Muay Thai, fight a few fights, and then they start showing promoters, hey, I'm 3-0 or 4-0 in Muay Thai. I've been staying busy, and they make a little couple videos, you know, and they market themselves a little bit. Like, these little fights help market themselves, make it more attractive for promoters to want to have them on their show and stuff. So, like, fighters really need to be smart with okay, you might not make a lot of money or it's not MMA, but this fight, and a Muay Thai fight, can actually help you get an MMA fight.
You know? But yeah, like you're saying too, make a little video package with the beauty of everyone having, I mean, everyone's got social media, everyone's got a camera on their phone. There's no reason why you can't have a Muay Thai fight. Go down to Bangla, Wild West, you'll have a fight next week. It's all good. Like, you can get, if you're over in Thailand, you can get fights all the time, and it's just a matter of taking those fights. Like, you're taking a boxing fight before your MMA fight, and for the sake of getting rounds, for the sake of paying bills, but hey, if you starch the guy, you're not, you know, one shot knockout, walk away, wave to the crowd. It's like, yeah, if I get a video of that, that goes on the highlight reel. Then that goes on the that goes on the little show reel. Happy days.
Going back to Dave LeDuc, and his wife are actually amazing with marketing and making little videos. They make a bunch of little travel, not just fight videos. I mean, travel videos, training videos, all kinds of different stuff. That one video that has like 1 million views, I remember seeing that they made, is like him and his wife went to a Thai 7-Eleven, and they're like, how much stuff can we get for $10? And they bought a bunch of, like, but that video had almost 1 million views. And like, these little, hey, fighters, don't listen to me. Like, I've lived all over Asia. So I'm lucky. I have a lot of different contacts in different countries, like Philippines, Malaysia, and China, and wherever, because I've lived there. Not everybody can do that, but Dave LeDuc's a perfect example of a guy who just went to Thailand. He tried out for Tiger Muay Thai team. He made the sponsorship team, and he started making videos. That shit just went, one of them went viral, and then all of the shit started going viral. And,
Now, but you said not everyone can do that. But in saying that, you have made the contacts. Like, you've lived all over Asia, and you've fought all over Asia, and you've made the contacts. Now, I mean, you know, that means that other people can do it. It's there.
I mean, definitely. But I know, I know they'll say, oh, well, how did you go to the Philippines? Like, I get these kind of questions. Like, how did I go to the Philippines? Where did I go? And then they'll say, well, how did you go from the Philippines? Like, it's crazy when I talked about my story, because it sounds unbelievable. Like, it sounds like I'm making shit up. But really, if I show you my passport, you'll be like, what the fuck? you know, I was in Thailand, then I lived in Taiwan. I literally have spent extended periods of time in Taiwan, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Thailand, and China. So that's 6 countries already. And my uncle lives in Japan. So I'm really lucky my uncle lives in Japan as well. So I don't know. And I've always just been willing to fight, and I make things easy for the promoters. And that also helps as well.
Yeah.
I know other fighters might get mad because I make things too easy sometimes.
But you know, you want to fight. You understand that you need to fight. You, in your situation, for the lifestyle that you want to live, you got to fight.
Yeah.
Now, it's not going to, you know, for some people it's easier. You know, you might be able to hold off and not take particular fights or anything like that. But sometimes, hey, like you said, I'll take this boxing fight. It'll keep you tied over until the next fight. Happy days.
I tell everybody, actually, Muay Thai is the scariest out of everything. MMA,
really?
Boxing, yeah. Even Evo Lethwei is probably pretty scary too. But Muay Thai and Lethwei, I should say. But Lethwei is like kind of that rarity. But Muay Thai hurts way more than a boxing fight. Like, a boxing fight, I might have, like, maybe worst case scenario, I get a black eye or my nose is bloody or something. But in a Muay Thai fight, even the Muay Thai fights I win, my shins are sore. I got a sore leg. I kicked his elbow or something. Maybe I hit a body kick and I kicked his elbow. Like, no matter what, even the fights I win that are like one or two rounds, I always end up sore after a Muay Thai fight, but that never happened. Like all my boxing fights, I've always been fine the next day. No, that's okay. And even K1's no elbows and no clinch. I feel it's 3 3-minute rounds. I feel like it's hard sparring. And there's no like share dog or Tapology for K1 or Muay Thai too. So people should have incentive to fight it. It's, like you said, it's ring time. It's extra money, extra experience. And yeah, so.
Come on, guys. I'm 100%. So I took a Sander rules fight a couple of weeks ago. I took it on like a day's notice because someone pulled out. So I was actually going up the corner someone and they said, hey, can you fight instead? I said, yeah, that's whatever, because like you said, it's 3-rounder. Okay, whatever. I'll just jump in.
Yeah.
Have you been training for it? No, but it's 3 rounds. I can go rounds.
Tell me the rules. I'll figure it out.
it's 3 rounds. I'll be okay. And like you're saying, you know, like if you're already fighting Muay Thai and you're already used to like getting elbowed in the face or, you know, someone trying to elbow you in the face, all of a sudden, like you're saying, a 4 3-minute round boxing fight doesn't seem so bad. You're like, oh, and I get paid. Okay, cool, sweet. Let way to me seems, oh, you know what it might be? It's obviously like the glove aspect. I think most people probably, even if you're a Muay Thai guy, the Muay Thai guys I see that struggle with it in the clinch like that. You know, you'll see guys finish it like on multiple headbutts or throw like 3 or 4 headbutts in a row. You're like, oh, fuck, I'm like, oh, surely there's something you can do. But it's obviously just like, what the fuck? Why am I getting headbutted? You know, it's that weird.
Train for it. You really have to like train for it. You know, like you have to like, or at least think about it or go over scenarios with your coach or training partner or something like in the gym before. But yeah, that was scary. Lethway is a little bit scary. Luckily, I'm tall. Luckily, I'm very tall.
Yeah, yeah.
And I fight at a low weight class, and I didn't feel like it was as scary. I was actually more worried about breaking my hand because I broke my right hand before, and I was just scared about breaking my hand. And in the fourth round, my knuckles were really sore, and I was like, I wasn't even throwing power with my punches. So I was just like, man, fuck this. I'm not going to punch anymore. They yelled at me because I slapped. I just started throwing elbows, and I was like, fuck this. I did like that sumo slap.
Yes.
Like, fuck these guys. I'm not breaking my hands.
I remember there was Dan Hardy's first fight in the UFC. I think he might have fucked up both his hands against Gono. And I remember him throwing like a 1-2 left hook, but he threw them all open hand. He threw them like
his palm.
Like palm strike, left slap almost. Yeah. I remember that stood out for me at the time. The headbutts is definitely one of those things. And it might be, from a striking perspective, I guess like you're saying too, if you're a tall guy, that is less of an issue, isn't it? Like the headbutts almost from like that clinch position.
But what's weird is like, even short guys, they'll get underneath their chin, and the way the Burmese fighters, they jump and they hit
the shit.
Top of their head.
Yeah.
And like, it's really weird. So like, I watched videos and I thought about that. And so anytime I clinch with them, I made sure I put my hand over. Guys, you guys, like, if you do want to fight lethwei, study film, make sure you really practice on pads, practice clinching. Being safe and slow with your partner and kind of like, or your coach or training partner and going over the different scenarios and cause that way you don't hesitate when you're actually fighting as well, you know?
One of the ways I was talking to Ian Bone the other week, who's like, since he got involved in MMA, he then got involved in Kudo as well. And you can headbutt in Kudo, but they wear like the MMA helmets. And the gi. Yeah, but they wear the spaceman helmet, so you can headbutt in that.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, no,
that's Kai does that too.
Yeah, he goes, it's really good to be able to wear those because we can throw elbows and knees and stuff in training and not worry about obviously cutting each other up or whatever. But I thought about that, like, is that a way to practice then headbutts in sparring for Lethwei, or is that going to mess with the clinch too much?
My only thing would be like, because you have that metal thing, guys, they'll use it. They use that to headbutt.
It's not even the cage. It's like the
bubble helmet.
The plastic shield. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying because like, guys will go face on. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
You got to use the top of your head, like, because you don't want to use your face when your head.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it would change the angle of the strike itself. It would change the way that you threw it. Yeah. That makes
sense. As long as they know that and then they adjust, then it's fine. But it's like, they just need, as long as they're aware of it, then totally they'd be good to use that for training.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So no fights organized yet, but we're looking for the bare knuckle boxing fight. We're going to hound them. So Leonard Garcia, we're going to start harassing him on social media. We're going to just start having
I don't want to. No. Like, hey, you fought Holloway. I fought Holloway.
Hey, we'll both sign up to do this. We'll make it happen. Bare knuckle boxing. We'll jump in that circle. We'll toe the line, all that good stuff. And I've seen too. I mean, I think have they got it going in the UK now as well? They might have been, I want to say they've
They got like, I remember I watched a Vice documentary about underground bare knuckle boxing.
Oh, yeah. They got the gypsies.
But it wasn't, it was pretty organized for underground.
Yeah.
Like, how underground is it really? This shit would get shut down if it was illegal.
There's a Vice documentary going on there. I don't know if it's that underground, but it sounds cool. But it's cool. It's cool for a YouTube title, so whatever. That's all good.
Yeah.
But that's the next push. All right. So we're trying to get another lightweight fight. We're trying to get this bare knuckle boxing fight. We will tag Leonard Garcia in the most respectful way and just say, hey, it's an easy fight to make. We'll tag bare knuckle boxing. We'll let them know that that's the fight to make. Get you over the States, get you in that circle, and we'll make it happen. All right, dude, it's been really good talking to you, and I'm really happy that the reception worked. That's been really good.
Yes.
All right, man, we'll talk again soon. Before we go, any shout-outs, any mentions you want to give, anything like that? Now it's time.
Oh, I just want to thank Tiger Muay Thai for letting me have my training camp for my TFC fight in Korea, and thank my training partners, Emilio Rutia, Frank Hickman, George Hickman.
Yeah.
So, those guys, they're awesome.
All right, brother. All right, man. Thanks again. Cheers for watching, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Me, bro.
Catch you, bro. Cheers.